Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and I'm going to read one verse, verse 31. Acts 17, verse 31. Excuse me. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all, in that he hath raised him from the dead. We have in this passage one that is spoken of as being ordained of God. Paul was speaking to those at Athens when he saw an altar or a statue which had the inscription that said, "To the unknown God." These Athenians, just as most religious and even irreligious today, were very superstitious. We have those that go through certain activities, certain motions, or certain sayings, just in case. They want to make sure they cover all their bases. Some may come down an aisle to a hump in the floor. Others may say certain words that they repeat after another person. Others may even confess to someone things they have done, or all of the above. I know this to be true because I've done them all myself. We think if we rub the lucky rabbit foot of religion for salvation, we are sure to get lucky enough to get saved. If one thing does not work, a new thing will come along and all will start trying to do this. After a while passes, once we have done these things, the same guilty feeling comes back, and most times it is worse than before. So we have to start all over again. Maybe we did not do something right, the right way. Maybe we did not think the right way when we did it. This is the kind of thoughts that we have. We are always stuck in doing this or doing that. Just doing, doing, doing. What are we always left with? Guilt. Nothing ever really makes it go away. Nothing we do will ever make it go away. We never have any assurance at all, and for good reason. There is only one thing, yea, one person that can take that away. That man whom he, that is God, hath ordained. One day it says he will judge the world in righteousness, and knowing there is none righteous, no, not one, tells us all that if we stand in that day before him, his judgment will be our eternal damnation. So how can we be justified, or that is right, in that day if we have no righteousness, since he will judge in righteousness? Today I want to talk about these two things: God's righteousness, our assurance. In Matthew 6 and verse 33 we read this: "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So knowing the righteousness of God seems to me to be an important thing to know. How do I know what the righteousness of God is? And how do I get it, one might ask. First of all, our own righteousness will not cut it. Our righteousness is not righteous enough. Hear what Christ told some in Matthew 5 and verse 20. "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." In other words, Christ is saying you cannot attain the righteousness needed by what you do. Paul tells us, being inspired by the Spirit of God, he says, "By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight," and that is God's sight. So the righteousness required by God will not be found in us. So where do we find God's righteousness? We have to start with Scripture. Romans 1 and verses 16 and 17 says this: For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we read here in the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed. Oh, may God send us the gospel today. If that is where the righteousness of God is revealed, then I need to hear the gospel. So what is the gospel? Let me start with 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5. Because just hearing the gospel is not enough, as we will see. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5 says, For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So first of all, what is the gospel? The word means good news. What is good news to a sinner? I spent a big portion of my life trying to figure out what I had to do to be saved. At least at the time, it felt like a big portion of my life. I thought I would just do better, thinking that this is what would gain me favor before God, and Him showing me favor towards me for it. I kept doing and doing. I was never satisfied. Guilt always pursued. Oh, I may have thought for a time I was doing okay and that this is what was needed, but nothing deep down ever satisfied my soul. It would keep coming back. And I would have to either try and stifle the thoughts or try to do something else to make the thoughts go away. Thank God it never worked. I thank Him that the guilt never quit. It does work for some. And oh, what a place to be in to have a false hope. A hope based on anything that you do is a false hope. I was like those whom Scripture speaks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It was always do, do, do with me. Just as it says in Scripture, Romans 10 and verse 3 says, For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I tried repenting of those things I was doing. But that, just as it was for Esau, never worked. I sought repentance with tears at times, but it never came. I was not hearing the gospel, and if I was, it came to me in word only. So what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of God's righteousness, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ, who is He? It means that message that declares who Jesus Christ is, and that is God, God Almighty Himself. But not that only. He is God the Son, the one who condescended to do the will of the Father. Why is that significant if He is God? And He is God. Because He submitted Himself as one being in subjection to another. He did without and became a man. He had nothing. The Lord of glory I'm talking about. This one came down and walked on this earth. He was a bona fide man walking on this earth. He came and made Himself of no reputation. He was not one that after seeing Him you would recognize Him later. He didn't stick out in a crowd, in other words, by His looks, that is. He was of the Holy Ghost of God and born to Mary and Joseph, a family that had very little. They called Him the son of a carpenter, and this was not a high calling in that day. He says He had no place to lay His head, meaning He had no real home to go to or stay in, especially after He left His mother and father, you might say, when He was older. He worked with His own hands. Do not think our Lord did not work with His own hands. Everything He did by the work of His own hands. But then we have Him crucified. Him crucified was more than just being nailed to the tree. He was nailed to the tree, for sure. But it was not just being nailed to a tree for him. If it was just about Jesus Christ dying, then God the Father would or could have killed him in his sleep. I know this because God the Father loved the Son. He would not have subjected his Son to needless torture. No, Jesus Christ had to suffer the shame of the cross as well. He was cursed, spat upon, beat, had his beard plucked out, and had a crown of thorns put upon his head. He was ridiculed and mocked. But yet, that was not the ultimate thing that he had to suffer before his death. This man, this one man, was forsaken of God the Father. I don't know how to explain that. God forsaking God? Is there anything about that that rings salvation to your ears? He did something that was absolutely something I do not want to experience. Something I do not want to work out with my own hands. But then, being forsaken of God, he died after that. He was in the grave 3 days and three nights. But the grave could not hold him. He arose from the grave victorious, ascended to the Father to present himself the perfect, spotless Lamb on our behalf. And he was accepted of the Father. He saved his people to the uttermost, fully and completely, by his work and his work alone. I just know that what he did was something I could never do to pay for my sins. First of all, a spotless sacrifice was needed. And I know I am not spotless. When this finally came to me in the gospel, it was good news to me. What I was required to pay fully, Jesus Christ my Lord did in my place. This is good news to me. Maybe it's not good news to you. I know that is the case for some, but I have a few thoughts that come from that. I first feel pity for those who have never been brought to feel that this is good news to them. At the same time, I feel anger that there are so many that reject the work that Jesus Christ the Lord did on Calvary. If you try to add one thing to what Jesus Christ the Lord did on that tree, you are trying to add to his work. But even still, my hope is that some, even yet, will come to love what he did. Because whether anyone knows it or not, this was a glorious thing that Jesus Christ the Lord did on his people's behalf. He was flesh and bones just like you and I. Yet he did this without opening his mouth in opposition or rejection of doing any of this. Does that not make you want to bow down your face to the ground in shame? Bow down your face in the dust in honor to the one man that did what was required to satisfy his own justice, him being God. This is the gospel, and him being the perfect spotless Lamb crucified on that tree, and then ascending to the right hand of the Father, being accepted, he is the righteousness of God, having obeyed the law of God perfectly. Simply put, Jesus Christ is God's righteousness. If we are chosen in him, then God will in time place us in Christ, him giving us life, and in doing this, he will give us the gift of faith. And having faith, we will then receive the faith of the gospel when the gospel comes to us. Faith is not something you work up. It is the gift of God. It is a gift that God must give or you will not have it. Otherwise, any faith you have is dead faith, James tells us. But not everyone has faith. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2, all men have not faith. So this gospel comes to us. It does not just come to us in word only, but in power, and that is God's power and of the Holy Ghost. So just to go over it again, this gospel, the one I spoke of, comes to us not in word only. If all you do is hear words and it comes in no other way, whatever you get from it will not last. Now you must hear it in word, but not word only. God must be in it. In other words, it must be his power that it comes to you by his Holy Spirit. You will not hear the gospel or come to know God through a vision in the sky or in a dream. It will come to you in word, but not just word only. That which comes to you will be the gospel. If it is not the gospel, then the words do not matter to begin with, no matter how they come. God sends men, and the men he sends is up to him. Those he sends will proclaim the gospel. But it will come to you in power. What power, or whose power? What does Scripture say about power? Well, we read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 17 and 18, we read this. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, that's Christ. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The power I am talking about is the only power there is. Any perceived power anywhere else is just that, perceived power. Jesus Christ is where all power comes from. So this gospel comes to us in power, the power of God. It is the power. Is it the power of the preacher? How much power does the Scripture say Jesus Christ has? All power. The power that I am talking about is not of this world. Should I have the power of a pilot or a king or a president, I would not have enough power to bring the gospel to someone in this way. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, Paul the Apostle tells us. There is nothing in this world that I can do or say that would be enough power to do this. My only weapon is the Word of God, and it is he that gives the increase. He has told us that his word will not return unto him void. It will accomplish that for which he sent it to do. So we have power, and what else? The Holy Ghost. That which Jesus Christ said he would send to convince men of sin. So God Almighty comes in power in the Holy Ghost, convincing men of sin. This Holy Ghost, which comes having the fruit of the Spirit, and a part of that fruit is the faith of Jesus Christ, it will always point you to Jesus Christ the Lord. Always. But this fruit not only has faith, but love. So you will believe Jesus Christ, and you will love his truth, the gospel. Then there is one other thing of how it comes to us. It comes to us with much assurance. Which leads me to my next point, our assurance. My heading for this point is our assurance, but I want to be clear. When I say our, I am not including all men. God does not love everybody. He did not purpose to love everybody, only a remnant. If you are a part of that remnant, then when I say our assurance, I am talking to you. One way to know is if you reject what I am saying today, then you may not be one of his. I do not say this to be mean or because I think I am better or smarter than anyone else. I am most smarter or better than anyone else when it comes to as we are born in Adam. We are all born dead in trespasses and in sin. So if you reject what I am saying, and the Scriptures testify to this, but if you reject this message, you are either not one of God's chosen or he has not opened your eyes yet. That is, given you spiritual life, which he must do. If you are one of his, he will only when he is pleased to give you life, thereby imparting to you faith so that you will begin to love this message. So now, last of all, we have in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5, we have assurance. This is where I wanted to get to. So since the gospel is where the righteousness of God is revealed, then I must hear the gospel. If this gospel comes to me, not in word only, but in power of God and of the Holy Ghost, I will then have assurance. But much assurance of what? Assurance that I have done all I can do and now it's up to me? There is not much assurance in that, since I previously tried everything I could to gain my salvation and failed. Trying to do better, repent more, rededicate my life, believe God with all my heart. But there is no assurance in that because that never happens for a man in and of himself. We have already read that man's righteousness is not enough. My assurance does not come from me believing in my believing. My assurance comes when I believe Jesus Christ and what he did. When I just rest and trust Christ for what he has done, then oh, what a blessed assurance I have. The gospel tells us his works. Faith given us allows us to believe his works. What are his works? Well, everything in short, but those things we have already specifically said, and it is that which the gospel tells us that Christ has done. He has judicially taken away my sins as far as the east is from the west. There is no more work to be done for salvation, because he said there is none. He said, as I've said many times before, he said, "It is finished." He cried this on that tree. Faith comes from Jesus Christ. Faith points to Jesus Christ. So if God has given you faith and coming to you with the gospel, it will be manifested in you believing the record God gave of his Son. That record specifically being Jesus Christ and him crucified, the gospel. Oh, when you see him and can totally rest in what he has accomplished, it will give you blessed assurance. Acts 17 and verse 31 reads this way. Because he hath appointed a day, this is our text, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all in that he raised him from the dead. Christ being raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father, assures me that salvation for me has already been wrought out by him. It is Jesus Christ the Lord who is ordained, is the ordained man that will assure us as us being raised from the dead. We are assured by what he has done. His faith is what assures us. Hebrews 10 and verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. If I ever begin to look at anything I do or have done or think I should do, then the much assurance will fade. But if by his power and might you continue to look at Christ and what he has done, I mean completely finished the work of salvation, you will be much assured about salvation because it had nothing to do with you. Your assurance, just as the salvation wrought for you, your assurance comes from Jesus Christ the Lord. You do this by the faith given you being a fruit of the Spirit and hearing the faith of the gospel proclaimed to you. Oh, I like to rest right there, don't you? Right there in the gospel where Jesus Christ has taken care of me by taking my place. He's taken care of everything. I hope that those hearing me will not be like those men in Athens who told Paul, you're crazy, or we will hear you later on this matter. There may never be another time. God may kill you. He also may harden your heart, just as Pharaoh did. He kept hardening his heart. Pharaoh kept hardening his own heart against God, until finally God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It was exactly what Pharaoh wanted. So if Christ given you a new heart in the imparting of life from God, you will have the ability to believe. He will send you his gospel in power and of the Holy Ghost. And you will believe Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. And you will confess him before men. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You will come to know that Christ is all to you in God's sight. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You will, by the gospel, know this is so, because it took God himself to justify us. 2 Corinthians verse 5:21 says this, for he, that is God, hath made him, that is Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Knowing these things, you will love Jesus Christ and his work. Submitting yourself to him, knowing you have no righteousness of your own. Philippians 3 and verses 8 and 9 reads this way. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Seeing that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, and knowing he will send you that word by his choosing, and that he will also bring you that gospel in more than word only, but also in power and of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. It is a nice thing to think about getting to hear the gospel over and over again, assuring my soul over and over again that salvation is of the Lord. We will, when we first begin to see this, we will say, as Job has said in Job 42, verses 5 and 6, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. As our text lets us know, this is how we know our election, that we heard the gospel and it came to us this way, being blind, but now we see. This being done to us, it causes us to do something. What does it go on to say in 1 Thessalonians 1, in verse 6? It says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. You will join yourself to others that have had this power moved against them in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I hope that it might be that that man who he hath ordained will give you assurance that salvation is accomplished in Jesus Christ the Lord, our righteousness before God. Now, just a reminder, we have at 12 noon, we have a portion of one of our Sunday messages that you can listen to there. Otherwise, you know, come be with us at 10:30. We start at 10:30, just past Little Beaver State Park on Annabel Lane. Come hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified proclaimed.